Fiscal Leadership Podcast, a platform where we chat with our senior leaders in an energizing conversation around leadership and personal growth. I'm Ali Razavi, and I'll be your host for today's episode. Join me in welcoming today's guest, Oliver Tuzza, our Senior Vice President of Global Partner Sales. After spending 5 years as General Manager of Cisco Germany, in 2018, Oliver took over as SVP of Global Partner Sales, where he helps more than 60,000 of our channel partners bring their expertise to the table. With that, let's jump right into it.
Hi, Ali. Great to see you.
Great to see you as well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Despite of all the challenging times and the horrible things happening around us, I'm still doing great.
And I tell you what, I can totally understand that coming into being into in Cisco sales. We've had some challenging times since COVID has hit us, but I'm glad that we're going through it. And what's not going to kill us is only going to make us stronger.
Yeah, so, and it's interesting that you're saying this, but when we look at our numbers, we are growing. We are a successful company. Customers love us. And we sometimes forget this because there are challenging things around us. And it's very difficult to do your job, to do everybody's job right now with all the challenges that we see in the market. And I'm not talking about supply chain, but I think it's important that we keep the focus on there's a lot of stuff that is running very well and we're doing pretty well overall.
Yeah, I mean, it's the whole idea, you look at the glass half full, right?
Correct.
So even during the challenging times, and I think we've done a great job doing that, right? Our partners are facing a lot of challenges. Our customers are facing a lot of, we certainly are facing a lot of challenges, but I like the way we're going about it. So with that being said, I'd like to jump in right into our conversation, just in general, about getting to know you and about leadership. Times, whether it was during a YouTube video or in your LinkedIn profile, that you have the most wonderful job in the world. Tell me what drives that passion. And when did you come to the realization that, you know what I do day in and day out is pretty cool?
I agree. It is cool. It's a cool job and it didn't change. And by the way, I said, this is the perfect job on the day I got the first time the offer from Jerry at this time, because there's a couple of things. What makes the perfect job, which I believe works for everybody. I think it will be the same for you. So first of all, you want to have a job where you believe in what you're doing. You believe it's the right thing. You understand why your role, your job is important for the company, for achieving the company's target. And by the way, you don't need to be a VP or anything to have this kind of view. It doesn't matter where you are, everybody's important. And if you understand how this links to the company targets, it makes it again a perfect job. Then, which is, I think also in general, if you have an impact, if you realize you can have an impact. And impact means your job is really adding a value somewhere. Might be straight to the customer, or it might be just to the partner or team members. And then last but not least, which is especially for my job, and as you know, I'm running the global partner sales team. Mm-hmm. My advantage is I've been a partner for a long time in different positions. I managed strategic partnership. I managed a full partner, was CEO of the partner. And then I've been a country leader within Cisco, which is one of the best jobs you can get within Cisco, right, especially in your own country. So with this, and then a background from my GE times on process optimization and all of this one, I had the feeling like I was prepared my entire life for this job because I'm bringing all the assets. And that's what I'm realizing every single day, that this is a perfect job because I enjoy it. And there's a lot of fun, as you said. But I enjoy also because I understand what I'm talking about. I understand how a partner is working. Right. I understand how an account manager feels in these challenging times. So that makes it a perfect job. And as you, if you can cover some of these areas, and on top there's something like your boss sees the value that you're delivering, right, then it's a perfect job.
Yeah, and I think you hit on a key thing. You know, I passion and liking what you do, I think to me is one of the, you know, most important thing to be successful in any role. You know, I just recently changed, I mean, I say recently as of 4 years ago, when I went through a career transition, kind of went from finance into sales. And the reason I joined sales was because I really love to solve problems, right? Love to be in front of our customers and partners. So I can totally understand and I appreciate that. When it comes to leadership, every leader kind of exemplifies certain common principles, you know, and they apply that to their, you know, professional and personal life. So what are the top two or three principles that you can share with our listeners that you apply to your life every day?
I think you don't start with principles. I think you realize over time that you have principles. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting experience for me. And looking backwards, one thing that made me maybe successful, but more important, made me a lucky man is that I was able to stick to my principles. So the first one is always be honest, be direct, as direct as it works, depending on the situation, you need to be careful. But I think as a leader, your team deserves to understand what you think, what you believe in. So mm-hmm. that's a very fundamental principle, followed by something which links to this. Never make any commitments you can't keep or you can't control. Mm-hmm. A typical example, and I went through this experience a couple of times, when I took over different teams, and then people came to you and said, oh, Oliver, let's talk about my salary because my last manager committed that the next time I will get a big pay increase. I said, okay, that's interesting. So I assume you documented it with him. Oh, no, he didn't. He just told me. And I said, then he gave you a commitment that he couldn't keep or she couldn't keep. So these kind of making only commitments, and you get into difficult situations. If people ask you, oh, Oliver, will I be a director in the next 2 years? My answer is, I can't guarantee you this, but I can guarantee you that I will support you, or I will tell you what you're missing, mm-hmm. and I can tell you what you need. But being very honest and clear, sometimes it hurts, it's difficult,
mm-hmm.
but at the end, that's an important principle where I'm also feeling a bit relaxed on the biggest responsibility you have as a leader, which is responsibility for other people's, I wouldn't call it life, but at least development and opportunities. The other thing is something I learned, which also fits a bit more to my private life. Be very open and appreciate different views. And even try to understand views that seems to be wrong for you. Mm. So, The new way how we call it is enforced diversity and inclusion. But at the end, the underlying principle is you and I might have a different history, different education, different family background, different experience. And it's not good or bad, it's different. But with this one, if you put the same problem in front of us, you will have a different view than I have based on our experience and education. And if you want to find always the best solution or the best approach for something, you need to have different views and an open mindset to come up with the right kind of solution or the answer to a problem. So the diversity and inclusion has nothing to do, from my point of view, with gender, age, or anything like this. Mm-hmm. It has to do with coming up with different styles, different experience. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you only have white men in the same age, the chance that you cover diversity is pretty low. But there could also be some diversity. And that's the same which I always loved in my life and continue, especially as I'm now living in the US, seeing other people's views and not starting, oh no, you're wrong. Just starting with, okay, that's interesting. You seem mm-hmm. to have the same facts, but come to a completely different conclusion. And by the way, that's a challenge we're all facing, not in the company, in all societies. When you look at some of the top discussions, and I will not go into any political area here, but no matter what you do, we have people taking on both sides positions. It's this way, it's this way. But none of them is trying, hey, he's also a human being and he might not be completely stupid. Let's try to understand why he thinks this way. Because if we don't start this process, we will not unleash the power of the group that we have. And I think pretty often we will not find the right answer for challenging problems.
Yeah, I think, We at Cisco, we focus a lot on diversity, and I think you said it really well. It's not just, diversity that comes in a physical form, but in the thought process, right? And
Good.
that's what makes us, I think, very good at Cisco, because we've done a great job of bringing that diversity in the thought process and being open to different opinions or different angles of things. And to your point, having a sense of curiosity, right? And that's the thing. Somebody might say something, but having that sense of curiosity, it might not resonate with you, but having that sense of curiosity to say, hey,
Correct.
I'm willing to listen, I'm willing to learn. And that's the key.
Absolutely right. By the way, there's one other. I'm not sure if it's a leadership principle, but something which is an advice I'm giving now I'm getting older, some other younger leaders, when they're struggling with working with people in their team. I have this fundamental principle that everybody is brilliant in something. And you said something at the beginning, I'm enjoying it more, where you're more motivated. And it's a leader's role together with the individual to find this area. By the way, sometimes it might not be in your team. Because look at you. You might be a good finance guy, but it was not your kind of best job in life. So you realized I need to go into sales. And as a leader, you need to find out and support and help people to get in the role where they're best. Back to your question, I had the luck that somebody found the right role for me. And I'm feeling I'm in the best position because this is the perfect fit. And that's a leader's role. To find for everybody in his or her team the right kind of role. And by the way, sometimes it might be somewhere else in Cisco. The good thing is we're a big company. We find normally always something for everybody.
Well said. Let's change subject a little bit. You recently tweeted how proud you were of achievement of women in leadership, starting with your own wife, as a matter of fact. When you think about women in leadership, what is the one achievement or maybe an example that has stood in your mind? What has made that achievement unique in your mind?
So I'm struggling to answer your question because I
Okay.
don't, and I'll tell you why. I don't like that we talk about women in leadership because a great leader is a great leader because what they do, their principle, what they have achieved, and not because of their heritage, gender, age, color. On the other side, of course, I'm supporting this, and you said I'm treating this. Because we don't have an equal playing field here. We're not there. And as somebody who comes from Europe or from Germany, I must admit, the US, or especially in the area where I'm working here in the Bay Area, is far ahead. So here it looks already better. But I still struggle that people got kind of awarded because they are a woman in this role. And it feels for me like, oh, Oliver, you're the best German leader in the team. And I say, well, what has it to do with my heritage that I'm from Germany? So, but on the other side, I think we still need to accept for a lot of women, it is still more difficult to get into certain positions. I see it changing, especially with us having a lot of strong leaders in the ELT and the upper management team. I have a lot of amazing female leaders in my team, and I'm blessed with them. And not only on the VP level, also the levels below, which I think is one of the biggest achievements that I'm seeing. And looking back on what Jerry did, the biggest influence she had on changing something within Cisco was because she was able to show, to prove you can be a top sales leader and you still can be a woman. There's no conflict, and which attracts much more young female leaders. So back to your question, I could give you 20 amazing things. And I'm taking just the leaders that are reporting to me. Look at what Alexander Zaguri and the team is doing on managed service. Amazing how they shifted this. Look at what José van Dijk is doing. She was able to drive a complete different approach on all the tools and how we simplify our business. Or look at Julia Chen, who helped the company to build up this roadmap, this transformational roadmap to drive routes to market. But I would not add their gender to this one.
Right.
But on the other side, I do it and I communicate it so that other women see, hey, that's no issue here. You can do amazing things no matter what you are, where you're from. When I'm looking at leaders, there's not one. And I believe we have enough amazing leaders within Cisco. And by the
Yeah.
way, it's not only the ELT. They are amazing leaders in all areas and on all levels. And most of them have something very special. So that's what I'm interested in, learning. And I'm kind of trying to learn from every meeting I have with somebody. Because you
Yeah.
know this situation, you're sitting together and there's a complex situation, and one of the team, and he might or she might not be a leader, she says something like, oh, doing it this way. And she in this moment brings back everything. And you say, wow, that was a very smooth move. How did she do this? What was the logic? So, and that's what I'm looking for, because I will not change my style, but you can add always something to your style on top that you learn for certain situations. So I don't have this need for one explicit leader, but there's a lot of leaders all in the world who are doing amazing things. Look at Elon Musk.
Yeah.
There are some seeing areas where I'm shocked, and some say areas where I'm amazed. So I continue just learning and listening, but I wouldn't ask for one leader to meet me and have an hour with me.
Yeah, and I think it comes back again to the earlier point, having that sense of curiosity,
Yeah.
learning, because to your point, there could be good leaders that you learn from, and there also could be not
Bad.
necessarily so
Yeah.
good leaders, call them bad leaders, that you
Yeah.
can also
And
learn something from, right?
yeah, and we tend to go to the people that are similar.
Right.
So if somebody is having the same style, it feels like a confirmation. So I'm doing pretty good because this top leader is doing, he's saying the same or is doing the same. But I think you learn more from leaders that you don't like, don't understand, that are not the same. It's also a lot of people ask in within Cisco for a coach or a mentor and with different understandings. And they normally pick people that are the same. I highly recommend find somebody that you don't understand, where you not always agree, but she or he is still successful. Find these kind of leaders because you learn more from them. The other one is just reconfirming what you know already.
Gotcha. Diversity in thought process
Oh,
again comes
yeah,
back to
there's
that.
it
Yeah. Oh,
again.
that's a great point. All right. So when looking kind of into leadership and future leaders, kind of looking at as you look at the next generation of leaders, let's talk about Cisco. What advice would you have for the next gen leaders, call it? How do you think they're going to be successful in the future?
So first of all, my first advice, be careful with advice from leaders of another generation. But learn from their experience and what they're doing and build up your own. There are fundamental principles that do not change. Respect, inclusion, being a role model. There's a lot of fundamental things of leaders, no matter where you are. In what environment? It's if you're a people leader in or a country leader or whatever, that doesn't matter. So
Right.
these are the same. I believe there's one thing that we are learning and realizing right now. We're in a phase where more or less everything we forecasted and predicted over the last 2 to 3 years was wrong, simply wrong, and in many ways wrong. So. I think we need to accept a leadership style. No, we need to build, not accept, build a leadership style that is more agile, more flexible, more adaptable. That's the one. You need to adapt to the situation. And we did a pretty good job on this one, adapting to the COVID situation. Better than I think anybody would have forecasted. We might say, oh, we were not that good to adapt to the supply chain situation. But at the end, we changed a lot, and it would be worse if we didn't. So having this adaptable, flexible leadership style, which also adapts to the team and the motion you are in. I've been talking a lot about perform and transform, and that they normally come together. But there are times where the focus is more on transform, and that needs a different leadership style, more open-minded, more creative, more disruptive. And then you might be in a phase where it's all about making the number of the quarter, which is a more perform. It's more operational excellence. It's more process. It's quality. It's execution. So having the ability to adapt. And on the other side, I think it's key that leaders in all these changes remain a solid rock when it comes to principles and values. So there's things we need to change, but there's things we should never even think about touching. That's kind of honesty, team spirit, and all these things that we as Cisco having a pretty big focus on. So I believe future leaders will mainly need to add flexibility, adaptability, which means, by the way, they need to also be good to sense the current situation. That becomes more and more important.
And you know what? We used to make this comment just about the technology industry. We used to say, you know, we need to be flexible because guess what? Technology changes all the time. But I think to your point, that flexibility, being able to adopt, is more relevant today to any business you're in. It doesn't matter what it is. And you know, being able to maneuver around that, if there's a constraint here, how do we overcome it, and making sure that, you know, you do all the right things, pull all the right levers to adopt and adjust.
There's one thing that just comes to my mind, but I think with this hybrid work future that we're in, the future of hybrid work that we're in, it's no longer a future. I think it's also important that you build up communication and engagement styles that adapt to the new normal. There are these kind of people that are amazing when they're on a stage or when they stand in a group of people. Others can write amazing emails. Others can have, even in a one-on-one and in a virtual environment, a good interaction. Some of them doing a lot of with social media and so on. But I think when you run a team where the half is distributed around the world, different time zones, some of them you only see on a screen, some of them you meet in the at the cafe, the coffee machine. So I think leaders in these times need to adopt more to the changing environments and changing working styles, because there are people that want to work from home and there are people that want to go back to home. So you, and you see it within Cisco, the flexibility we implemented. So it's okay to come home to the office. And we appreciate it. We might even support this to a certain extent, but we need to accept that there are people that finally found out it's better for me to work from home in the future and to manage this complexity. So to sum it up, manager of the future, more complex than ever before, but also, I think, more fun, more enjoyment, more, what's the right English word? Satisfying. To lead teams. And I can just tell, looking back, the biggest change in my career was when I started to lead a team. It's not about the dollars, the size of the business. It's about taking responsibility for teams. That is the real game changer.
Oliver, this has been great. Thank you so much for spending time with us. Appreciate it.
Great pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you.